Hey, this is Kyle Clark. You're listening to the podcast version of Next. Catch us live weeknights at 6 Mountain Time on 9 News and streaming live same time on 9 News Plus. Email me anytime at next@9news.com.
Democrats run Colorado. Democrats run the state legislature, though tonight, Democrats are on the defensive, trying to fend off the one group in Colorado that's even more powerful, the vote of the people. Democrats are trying to beat back a ballot measure in November that would ask voters to direct hundreds of millions of dollars to road projects. Our Marshall Zellinger explains how they're doing it.
There's a group backed by construction companies collecting signatures for a November ballot issue that would require the state to spend hundreds of millions of existing budget dollars on road projects. In an effort to stop Initiative 175 from making the ballot, Democrats at the state legislature have introduced a bill to reduce how much money the state collects for road projects.
What is being presented to voters is, in my opinion, disingenuous.
Democratic state representatives Emily Sirota and Andy Basenecker are trying to take 175 out at the knees.
Initiative 175, as it's drafted today, would divert $700 million from our general fund to fund solely their new definition of what road construction should be in the state of Colorado.
Their bill would only take effect if Initiative 175 is on the ballot and gets passed by voters. Their bill would reduce registration fees, electric vehicle fees, and even late registration fees. That frees up room in the budget to keep more dollars instead of refunding them. The money spent on roads gets backfilled with more general fund dollars that can be spent elsewhere, essentially zeroing out the impact of 175 without shifting any dollars away from any other area.
If you realize that legislators are trying to do this to you, oh my gosh, fire them.
Cody Kennedy, mayor of Grand Junction, supports Initiative 175. So how would he handle voters deciding part of Grand Junction's budget must be spent a certain way?
As a mayor, that does concern me greatly. But as a voter, that would also concern me. Because it's the will of the voters that we should be paying attention to.
Because 175 does not generate any new state funding, voters would be telling lawmakers to spend $700 million or so on road projects, regardless of the needs elsewhere in the budget. Democrats at the legislature say that's the wrong way to budget.
That assumes that there's $700 million sitting out there that is somehow not needed for other services.
Yeah, you can kind of call this blackmail. If the people behind 175 make it go away, this bill goes away. The ballot issue basically says all fees and taxes for vehicle or fuel purposes are going to be for roads. Some of that money right now goes to transit, bike paths, EV charging stations. This ballot issue would essentially say all that money goes to road projects instead.
I'm going to try to frame this in a way that everybody will hate what I say equally.
Okay.
It seems like Democrats are afraid of popular ideas, like the idea of fixing the roads. But they're pointing out that sometimes when you ask people, they make stupid choices like wolves. Did I get everybody there? I think I got everybody.
You've equally upset the state. Basically, yeah, things can be popular. People may like popular ideas, but then you got to go to your parents and be like, hey, I really like this thing that I saw at the store. Can I have it? And they're like, oh, I'd love to get it for you. We can't afford it. And here, I'll show you why we can't afford it. Love to give it to you. Can't pay for it.
It's a weird game, though, and not the first time they've played this game where it's like, well, if the people are going to reach into this bucket for the money, let's first do something with what's in the bucket.
It's not, yeah, we heard it with property taxes quite a few years ago where the math was going to change for lowering your property taxes, and the state was like, well, if you do that, that's going to mean less money for the state, so we're going to change how property taxes work, so if this passes, it becomes non-existent. And so, yeah, this preemptive, oh, if that passes at the ballot months from now, if we do this, it's going to make that nothing. It's happened before, and that seems like a very interesting tactic.
I say we should just do direct democracy. People make all the decisions. Every morning you get a survey in your email, you click the boxes, and that's how the state runs. No need for a legislature. Just the people every morning checking boxes.
In November. You can do that in November.
I'll put it up. Marshall, thank you. So last time Uber and Lyft faced the prospect of tougher safety regulations, they threatened to leave Colorado. Democratic Governor Jared Polis vetoed Democrats' bill to further regulate those timeshare companies, so they stayed. Well, turns out the Dems aren't done. They're going to try it again and dare Polis to block it here in his last year in office. The bill would require background checks for rideshare drivers every 6 months and prohibit companies from hiring drivers with prior convictions on crimes like assault, stalking, or domestic violence. The bill scaled back from last year's version, no longer includes a ban on drivers offering food or drinks to passengers, now only requiring that all food products be factory sealed. And the updated bill no longer creates a legal pathway for riders to sue the companies if they're harassed or assaulted by a driver. The proposal comes from Representative Jenny Wilford, Democrat from North Glenn, who says she was sexually assaulted by someone impersonating a Lyft driver. Wilford says she is confident that the changes they've made to the bill will get the governor on board.
The bill that is in front of the legislature this session is the product of, well over a year's worth of stakeholder conversations and negotiations with everybody involved, trying to find the right balance between, ensuring there is a greater level of safety, ensuring that the horrible things that people hear about on the news aren't happening, and ensuring that businesses are able to operate well within Colorado.
The updated bill also expands the timeline for companies to make the required changes. Spokesperson for Uber told legislators today they're supportive of some of the requirements. They think that some of the other rules, like having optional audio and video recordings of each ride, are not reasonable. Hundreds of people showed up in court in downtown Denver this morning to dispute unpaid tickets. Problem is, they'd been brought there by a scam.
I thought, this really seems like a scam, but I thought, if I'm due for court, I cannot risk not showing up.
Yeah, you don't want to do crimes, right? So the scam alerts went out yesterday. Text messages that mimicked a court order for outstanding traffic violations told people either scan a QR code to pay or show up in court the following morning. Now, there were some red flags. Notices didn't include any identifying information. They came from the District Court of Colorado for Denver County. That's not a thing. The text led hundreds of people to call the federal court offices yesterday, and another 200 or so showed up in person this morning. The scammers were targeting anybody with a Colorado-based area code. A trade group for state courts says this has happened in at least 8 other states. If you scan the QR code and you made a payment, contact your credit card company immediately. After taking a break for a year, the Douglas County Pride Fest is back. That event has seen pushback from conservatives there in the suburbs, even a swarm of protesters. The folks in charge of Dougco Pride told our Jaleesa Arizeri that is exactly why they're coming back.
For a couple of years, Douglas County's Pride Fest made headlines. For Brooke Bernstein,
yes,
it was for all the wrong reasons. At the 2022 Pride Fest, during a drag show, a performer's costume slipped, revealing nipples on a plastic chest plate. A commissioner tried to get the event banned from the county property, but organizers said they wouldn't be run out of town. Then there was 2023. Just before the event, deputies found a wall and a few cars vandalized with a few choice words. Hours later, about 70 men interrupted the event's family-friendly drag show. The men wore shirts that read, "Stand to protect children," and blocked the view of the performers for roughly 40 minutes until they were escorted out.
There were kids who were crying. There were adults who are still dealing with PTSD relating to that incident. It was very uncomfortable. And it wasn't until later, the next day, when I was talking to my neighbor about it, and he basically said, "Well, just don't get yourself shot."
Those words didn't stop Bernstein, who's now the president of the Dougco Pride Fest, or the organizers before her. The following year, 2024, they moved the event to Parker and up security. They said there were a couple of disruptions, but nothing to the scale of the previous year. But in 2025, there was no Pride Fest.
We've basically turned over the board. And we've been working on continuing our regular activities. We really didn't have the capacity to have a Pride Fest last year.
Bernstein says this year that will change. The event is returning to Salisbury Park in Parker next month, with secure fencing, a police presence, and a code of conduct that Bernstein says will allow them to boot anyone that doesn't follow it.
It was really important to come back to show the community that we were not afraid. We're willing to stand up no matter what and have a wonderful celebratory day where people could be themselves.
That's what Bernstein hopes makes headlines this year, because Pride is something she believes everyone should be proud of.
It's essential that they have a place to go where they know they are welcome and supported.
For Next, I'm Jaleesa Arizeri.
Bernstein says they are monitoring social media for any planned protests. They have at least 5 drag show performances scheduled for this year's event. All right, what do you say? It's a Friday night in Colorado. Let's do some good. Your weekly micro-giving campaigns have raised $18 million in 6 years. This week, we are going to help double the impact of a program with a track record of taking Coloradans from homelessness to being housed, working, and healthy. That is the name and the mission of that nonprofit in Denver. Housed, Working, and Healthy has 10 times as much demand to get into its program than it has slots available. They help people transform their lives through stable housing, culinary workforce training, and assistance getting sober and mentally well. The nonprofit's moving into a new facility in the Swansea neighborhood. There are 1,000 shelter beds within a 4-mile radius, so lots of people, if they're looking for a path to stability and success in their lives, can go to Housed, Working, and Healthy to get there. Their program stacks up benefits for both the participants and the community. Because think about this, right? You get people into steady work, so they have dignity and purpose and structure and connection. Then their wages lead to more spending in the community. That's good for everybody. They need less in social services benefits. We can help supercharge that ripple effect that changes lives and benefits Colorado. Scan the QR code on your screen. Text the word thanks to 303-871-1491. We'll send you that link to donate. You've proven that even $5 helps because that's how you've raised millions. 7,500 of you have also signed up to make a monthly pledge to the Word of Thanks Fund. Put in your info one time, pick a donation amount. We automatically split it. We empty the pot every month among our nonprofits. And we expect that in this 5-week month, it'll add almost $40,000 for each cause. A surprising number of Denverites are hurting themselves or others while riding on electric scooters. So the city's making changes.
Good news. What good news? My daughter got married last week. That was good news for us. Yeah.
It would be weird if it wasn't. We never end the week without our favorite Friday question. Slow your roll. Your good news is next. There's a trusty new steed in town for all of Denver's urban cowboys. Today, black and teal Veo scooters are hitting the streets, not the sidewalks. Please not the sidewalks. You're going to kill somebody on the sidewalk. You got to stop riding there. Scooters have exploded as a micro-mobility option in Denver and other cities. Here, riders have taken millions of trips on those Bird and Lime scooters over the past few years. But we have also seen and reported on thousands of injuries. Denver Health treated nearly 2,000 scooter-related injuries in 2024 alone. So city leaders decided they wanted to swap out the existing scooter operators for a new company that would come in with some safety changes. You'll see these new Veo scooters come in a couple of models, including a seated option for additional safety. They also include some tech features to encourage riders to stay off of the sidewalks and to return the scooters to the designated parking corrals rather than just littering them on random street corners.
We have technology on these that will now make it possible for you to be notified and stopped if ever you're on a sidewalk so they know you cannot ride in that location. These now have technology that require them to be in downtown, dropped in certain corrals and locations where they're parked safely so you know where you can pick them up, where you'll drop them off. You can get there quickly, affordably. It leaves the city safer to navigate and less cluttered.
Because right now the worry is that you're stepping over a pile of abandoned scooters when you get hit on the sidewalk by another scooter. So two birds, or two lifts, as they would say, with one stone. The mayor says the Veo scooters are cheaper than the other competitors. They'll still have a program for low-income riders. You'll see the old providers, they'll kick around for a couple weeks before they get phased out for the new scooters. Elbert County's fighting a company with a ton of power. The county wants the Public Utilities Commission to reconsider a plan to allow Xcel to build a mass power line system through the county. Elbert County submitted an appeal to state regulators, which approved Xcel's Power Pathway project. It's a statewide energy project that would help get power from Pueblo to Denver. It would put 140-foot tall power lines along Highway 86 in Elbert County, a part of the state that does not currently get its electricity from Xcel. The county says that location would impact people living nearby. It would disrupt scenic areas and that this will be taking up land that could later be developed. Elbert County says it's not opposed to the project. They just want to kick it out east a bit. Xcel says that wouldn't work because there are fewer roads out there and it would make emergency response more difficult. Meteorologist Chris Bianchi promised us rain yesterday. We didn't get it. He still has the temerity to show his face around here today, but at least to answer the question, what happened to that rain? Did it just stay in the happy little cloud, or did it rain its rain somewhere else?
Well, we were just talking, I don't know what was worse, the Denver rain forecast or the Nuggets last night, but it was a close call, right, Kyle? I would say one thing to at least take away from that rain forecast yesterday, it was a total dud. Denver on north. The storm stayed just a bit too far south. We were on the edge of it, and that storm just stayed about 25, 50 miles further south than the modeling had it, and was a little weaker as well. Came through a little faster. All that combination meant we got totally skunked in Denver. But where was the rain? Here in southern Colorado, in Fairplay, that fell in the form of snow, about 9 inches for friends there in South Park and Evergreen getting some rain. South Metro did see some rain yesterday. Denver on north, womp womp. Eastern Plains, frost advisory for tonight, freeze warning for the western slope. By the way, unfortunately, some of the peach crop out in the western slope hard hit by our recent freezes. Tomorrow, though, we'll warm up into the 70s. Eastern Plains, beautiful weather for tomorrow. Then our next storm system. And yes, I'm calling for rain for early to mid next week. But a little more confidence on this storm. There's two storm systems. We're kind of smack dab in the middle of it. So I think we'll get at least one wave of rain for us for either Tuesday or Wednesday of next week. And can't even rule out a little bit of slushy snow here in Denver Tuesday and into Wednesday morning. Temperatures on the cool side Tuesday and Wednesday before we warm right back up again late next week.
Moms, we love them. They're the good news in so many of our lives. So let's celebrate a bunch as we take time each week to talk about the good news in the lives of our neighbors. Hey, a reminder, you can catch Next streaming each night, 6 p.m. on 9 News Plus. And people ask us, why don't you make this a podcast? So we've made the video show a podcast, and you can get approximately 70% of the jokes. You can never be too early or too old to celebrate Mother's Day. After decades of putting others first, some moms and grandmas at a memory care facility in Aurora got well-deserved relaxation today, interrupted only by our pesky team asking them to opine about the good news in their lives.
We are painting their nails, doing their makeup, curling their hair. You know, Mother's Day is important to recognize what you do for your kids. Sometimes we forget to do self-care and take care of ourselves, so this is what we're doing for them. I think as a mom, you kind of forget yourself and put yourself on the burner. Just to kind of make them feel like a queen for the day. That's the title of our event, Queen for a Day. My good news is we're doing a Mother's Day tea party. We've invited families to come kind of celebrate with their moms and show us how much they mean to them. Connie, there's only one Connie in my opinion.
Kelly's a good person, huh?
Yes, she is.
I love you, Connie.
Good news, what good news? My daughter got married last week.
That was good news for us, yeah. So that was pretty impressive.
This is so good because it's been a long time since their kids were little, and you know, it brings back memories and reminds them that self-care is important. Lets you guys know that we love you and we're here to hang out with you and spend that quality time with you. Then you feel good because you feel like you've been pampered.
Oh yeah.
Thank you, moms. Thank you, Marilyn, for the feedback.
You're welcome.
That's next. Thanks for finding us here on Channel 20 tonight instead of 9 News, or always on 9 News Plus. Mike via email says, Kyle and team, we appreciate your efforts and all that you report on, making us laugh after a long day. Keep up the amazing job. Thank you. Well, thank you for that, Mike. I appreciate that. On Fridays, I'll occasionally read a nice piece of feedback. It's all nasty on the other days, but Fridays, we give ourselves a little break. This via text, dude, really? Preempted on 9 News by a pink-themed horse race? Would much rather see Colorado's good news on a Friday. A pink horse race? That's what my 5 and 8-year-old daughters are watching. They're not watching me. That sounds like must-see TV for them. See you next time.
Thanks for listening to the podcast version of Next. Catch us live weeknights at 6 Mountain Time on 9 News. Streaming live, same time, on 9 News Plus. Email me anytime at next@9news.com. Next producer is Mallory Harris. Our digital producer is Marilyn Moore. Our visual editor is Jeff Sartell. Our reporters include Marshall Zellinger, Mark Salinger, Angeline McCall, and Evan Kruel. Misty Montano is 9 News' digital director. I'm Kyle Clark. I'll see you next time.